Hi and welcome to DJ and BJJ podcast with me, Irish Mike, and my co-host
Ken.
No mad introductions for you today. I forgot to make it a point of my radio DJ intro last week. So if it was your first episode ever listening, we don't usually tee in the podcast like that. But another time, Ken might have a different way of saying his name.
A different way of saying my name to silence the critics of the deadpan Ken voice. But no, I actually, because I wanted to tee up Paddy with the intro, I actually wanted to come back and be like, what the fuck was that introduction, Michael? But, you know, the conversation just flowed on from there, so I forgot. But yeah, that...
You can't get a word in with Paddy anyway. He's too positive, and he's just too nice, like, you know what I mean? The conversation just went well. But... yeah, so how would you get on this week anyway?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, man. Doing all right. It's been another week. Good training. Getting back on the mats. I'd like to say I'm injury free now. There's nothing I'm avoiding in rolling other than like the really big guys.
Yeah, just to make sure look after the rib.
That's nothing to do with my rib. That's just because I don't like rolling with the really big guys. My ego can't take it. But yeah, no, I think things are good, man. What about yourself? Was it Impact you were down at the weekend?
Yeah, so I did say it in the last podcast that they had an open mat. So I went down to join them. I was actually 20 minutes late in true fashion. I've not been on time for anything, but... yeah, it was good. There was a few guys down there, six or eight of us, had a good role. Obviously, I was familiar with three or four of the guys from previous time being there. You know, Jimmy Wheeler and that. We're going to have him at the podcast some stage because he's like active competitor. And Dean, who I know, my mate. Dean ended up heel kicking another Dean in the nose.
Was he rolling with him?
Yeah, the two were rolling. It was just accidental. I think he broke his nose.
The way you told it, I thought it was like, because it's quite... You know, to actually heal someone in the face in a roll is quite difficult to do. I thought it was like the guy was sat at the side of the mat and got rolled into or something.
No, I think it was just like someone zigged when they zagged. And I'm not going to talk shit about either of them because they're nice guys, like, you know. But Dean got up and left and took the guy to A&E and stayed with him. Like, so that just speaks to his character.
No,
I concussed Benny and went home and left him in hospital to lose 200 quid and getting his car taken off him, you know.
Yeah,
so it just seems
different. Yeah. He had it coming.
But I think they have one at the end of the month, another Sunday. I think it might be 27th, can't remember.
It's the bank holiday weekend.
Bank holiday weekend, Sunday.
Bank holiday weekend, so yeah.
11 to 2, it's free. All academies welcome. They're really nice guys. I'll probably make an appearance, but I'm coming back from holiday, so depending on how my Saturday night is, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, they're doing it every 2 weeks, did you say? Or is it like informally 2 weeks?
No, I think they're going to eventually... like set dates, but at the minute they're just trying to get people in. And you know, as I say, they're not guys that roll with aggression or anything like that. It's not as if you don't have to feel like you're coming into their gym and they have something to prove. I mean, Jimmy could fuck me up anytime he wants to, and he let me like roll through some stuff, and you know what I mean, like I'm not getting a guillotine on him, but like I was holding one and he was like, and then he broke out, like
constructive, you know, training session.
Very good. Like I can't speak good enough things about them, you know.
Were the four lads that came to Matt House that last time there?
No, Dean was there, but the other two boys weren't there. I think it was three last time. I might be forgetting someone. I have a head like a sieve, so please don't. But they have said, the guys that were down, that when we do have our first of the month Nogi class, that they'll be willing to pop up. They're going to give Dom a message. And
that might be changing, though. Hey, they're saying that now, well, Dom, our coach, was saying that he might split it into a triple class on Monday, so you've got... Nogi
on Saturday.
What did I say?
Monday.
I'm shot away.
First Saturday of the month.
First Saturday of the month.
It's going to change to every Saturday.
It's Nogi at the moment, but he was saying it's like our normal classes are 2 hours. It's like an hour and a half with half hour open mat attached to the end. But he was saying about splitting into a three single hour classes where you've got advanced Nogi, then fundamentals.
They're thinking and calling up anyway either way, so it's good to get nice looks off people, and
be good to give them more options.
Yeah, but moving on from that.
Yeah, so you had a good time down there, but you didn't get many rolls, did you, because of the injury? Did they have to close up early?
To be fair, I got an hour worth of rolls. I rolled with Jimmy a few times. I didn't get to roll with Demon Mate, but I'll get him the next time. Rolled with another two guys. It was good fun, you know. To be honest, I rolled at Matt House and I felt really shit about my jiu-jitsu on Saturday. And I only trained Wednesday and Saturday, and like on Saturday I said, if you're not putting in the work,
No, you've been slacking lately, mate.
Yeah, so, and I even said it on Saturday, I said, if you're not putting in the work, how the fuck do you expect to be, you know? So I wasn't sour at the class, I was sour at myself, kind of.
Yeah.
And, but, like, then I went down there Sunday, and I say, being able to move a bit and do, like, I didn't sob anyone or anything like that, but I just, and it was no gi as well, which is something I don't do much, as much of as I do gi. So I just felt it was nice to get it, you know, and just have that little bit of, I wasn't getting fucking dominated, like, felt. But like I say, I'm not, under any illusions of where I am.
What's the gym like down there? What's the space like?
Oh, it's great space, yeah. I couldn't really say in fucking meters or anything, but like there's a cage on the side, so that, like, in the room where the jiu-jitsu is, it's upstairs, and it's a massive mat space. Like there's room for fucking 40 people to roll, no problem.
Oh, wow.
Like easy, like. Maybe I'm over exaggerating. Maybe
it looked big. The photos I've seen of it looks big, but obviously without scale, it's tough to really know.
They have a shower, you know. So
that's
I mean, like, that's all you need to know. And they're good training parents. There's a cage at the side, and when I was there the first time with all the other guys, they were actually doing a couple of rolls in the cage, which was kind of funny and cool. I never did it, like, because I don't. If my jiu-jitsu was good enough, I would walk into the cage and have a roll, but I don't feel it is. So.
You feel like there's a certain caliber before, yeah. before you jump in the cage and have a roll.
But yeah, so that was basically jiu-jitsu. Yeah, it was Baron Bolan as well. We were doing it this week, which I was doing well on Saturday, but last night, I don't know, it's like I dropped a couple of IQ points, me and you were all together. I mean, I couldn't even get what I was doing last time, you know.
Oh, mate, yeah, it was a funny class last night, to be fair. Yeah, had a few moments, but no, it's nice to have everyone back on the mat. So I haven't done any away days in ages. I need to line one of those up. Which
you're heading away this weekend.
This weekend, yeah. You're heading away to Las Canarias, and I'm heading to London Grapple with Zach, episode 10, and a few of the other Mat House boys. So a nice little away day in London. To be honest,
I'm sick and I'm missing it, to be fair.
Yeah, you should be there. We're going to get tacos afterwards, which isn't your forte.
Could care less, but like, sure, they probably sell cider or
something. I'm sure they've got alcohol on tap, so that would tempt you in. But I'm quite I quite like the aesthetic of gyms. After travelling around, you know, I like seeing how different gyms look, you know, how, like, you know, the different kind of spaces are set up.
Looks like a really big space as well.
Yeah, it's like under the arches, nice, like really matted to the walls. It looks like a really cool aesthetic place. Mm, so I'm looking forward to going and seeing that. But I also like I do like the Spit and Sawdust gyms as well. You know, I've got an appreciation. What I'm saying is that, you know, for me to say, oh, that's a nice gym, it doesn't have to be necessarily like the most kind of pristine academy sort of, like, you know, perfect mats and everything. It's just got to have a certain, like,
je ne sais quoi.
Yeah,
that's good. See you doing this fingers,
yeah, you can see me doing the French, like, or Italian hand, like, gesticulation. But yeah, no, I think Carlson's Farnborough's got a little bit of something about it, in a sense that, like,
but man, you can't slag off a gym, whether it's a shower or there's paper holding the walls together. If you get good rolls and the people are decent there, like, fuck the character of the place. I mean, that actually has some character, but, as well, when you see the steel beams going across the room.
I like walking past that, like, abandoned reception area that's now a storage cupboard, and it's like, you could do so much more with this space, but that's not what it's about. It's about good jiu-jitsu, you know. It's about people just turn up, a loyal club that people get rolls at.
I mean, fuck us with our super clean gym and really lovely mats and nice reception area and multiple toilets and nice hot showers
and our aircon.
What do we know about, like, nice gyms? One of the best gyms probably in fucking Berkshire. Like.
Definitely the best one in Reading, that's for sure, in terms of facilities.
Yeah, like, you know. 100%.
But yeah.
And probably a stretch even outside that, like.
So yeah, obviously I'm going to London Grapple. We'll fill in. We're probably going to have a week break, actually. It's worth mentioning that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you're going to be away, and I'm not doing one on my own.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, lads, you're not paying any money or buying any rash guards. So, like, I mean, we have jobs and lives. So there'll probably be one whenever Ken decides to go on his holidays as well. But, like, we'll address that at the time. But yeah, I mean, not slagging you off or anything. It's just, like, life does come in the way, you know.
Seriously, guys. We need the money.
Yeah, we need the money. I'm going to put up a Revolut link, and I want some fuck. I want a few quid sent, like.
But no, so you're away. So we're gonna have a little break. You're going to be training. We've already covered that, but you're going to be training at the Verdum gym.
Verdum, yeah.
In it's not, it's Gran Canaria you're going to, isn't
yeah,
it?
It's Puerto Rico. It's just 20 minutes outside Puerto Rico.
So. In Gran Canaria. So yeah, you'll have a little bit of a update something on that. I'll probably have cross-trained a few different places by then. I'm hoping to get some sessions in the next couple of weekends if I can at other spots, if that's an option. And yeah, we'll give a little update then. With regards to other things I wanted to go through, we've got the interview with Matt Vega that we're going to tee up in a moment.
Yeah, you know, so
Os Nation.
We had Matt from Os Nation on. It's weird when you talk to people over the internet, you know, because he was very positive and he shared loads of our stuff. And as you listen to the interview, you'll know if you didn't already know how we got to know him. It's shout out Bobby Churchhouse. But that's all spoke about in the interview. But yeah, he's a safe guy and really great interview. And it just kind of enforces the mindset that people in jiu-jitsu are fucking sound. Yeah. And he was so sound.
Really safe geezer, really cool chat. So yeah, we're going to drop that in now?
No, I just think we should give a shout out to Mouse.
In the wrap up, when we do the plug-in.
Or even give him plugged in.
I was going to do that now, but we can do it both.
No, yeah, well, I was, yeah.
This is a well structured podcast, Mark. So yeah, what are we doing? We're dropping the interview in now?
We'll drop it in now.
All right, guys.
enjoy
the interview with Matt. So with us today, we've got BJJ Black Belt, content creator, meme collector, the man behind Os Nation BJJ, the Instagram and YouTube channels, Matt Viega, aka Meathead BJJ. How's it going, mate? Thanks for joining.
Thanks for coming on, buddy.
It's all good over here in Southern California. Nice and sunny, hot, 102 degrees today. Sweating our balls off.
What's that like training in the gym then? Is you have a good AC?
Yeah, well, you know, my professor, for the kids' classes, he cranks that AC up for the kids, but when the adults come in, it's off.
Yeah, so save that money.
We're dying in there. So if you get to the fundamentals class before, right after kids class, you might have a little bit of fun. But then by the time the late class, the no gi stuff like that starts, it's hot. It's hot shit in there, but whatever, man.
Like
the sweat.
So just to start off, as Ken usually says, we usually start off with how we get introduced to people and how we met them. We actually got introduced to you through... you put up a post saying, is there any grapplers that people should be aware of? And we have a close friend of ours. He trains at another gym over the road. It's Carlson Gracie. And you shared the video, which one our friend Bobby sent to you. And, you know, we tagged him and a couple of lads tagged him. We said, try, because obviously we recognize your page as a fairly popular page for jiu-jitsu and people that, you know, that train jiu-jitsu. So we tagged Lucas up and you shared one of the videos, and then Bobby, like, I think he was out having a few pints, you know what I mean, having a few drinks, you know, and he gave you a text and said, would you come on the podcast, you know, and you said yeah straight away. So we thought, fucking hell, this guy, you know, you have a big following, and you know, we said we were going to have you on earlier, and obviously
I think we were only, what, 5 episodes in or something. Yeah. And you were like, yeah, I'll come straight on. I was like, fair play to the skis. But no, it's nice we finally made it happen. So you kind of touched on training. Like, obviously, how we met's one thing, but your intro, your beginnings with martial arts, really. Before we get into the social media, the platform and that, I always like to find out about what got people into jiu-jitsu. Were you a martial artist already? What was your little, like, journey? Obviously, you're a black belt now. You've been training 14 years, is it?
Yeah, almost 15 next summer. I'll be 15, so a year till I get my second degree. So
that's cool, nice, man. So yeah, what was your entry in? I mean, have you always trained in California? Who'd you train under? Give us the lowdown on Matt Vega, man.
Well, I started off. I played all the other sports, you know, like the traditional the sports in America, like football, basketball, baseball, all that stuff. Generally, was pretty good at basketball, but that didn't really work out for me because genetically just didn't have the height to play, you know, and I was always like getting ejected for fighting, and I was that kind of like enforcer type on the so after sports I was like, I needed something. So
had you an were you fairly aggressive when you were young, like had you that like were you ready to go, like kind of attitude, like young buck with all the balls?
I was always that guy, never like picking fights or anything, but I was always like love just getting after it. So once I got out of sports, I needed something to do. I was just working and lifting. And to me, like, working out for what? Like, work out for something. So I saw the UFC. I was watching UFC. And I was like, my cousins were like, hey, you should go try. And I was like, all right. I walked to a class. And it was a little old school back then, so they beat the crap out of me.
Introduction, yeah. It was hard.
You trained before? I said, no. I was like, I've been in some fights, like, outside of, like at the gym and stuff. And they're like, all right, and they beat me up pretty good. And I showed up the second day, and then that's, they kind of like took me in their wing. And it was,
you got a bit of respect when it wasn't a street fight.
I was a white belt for 5 years.
Oh, geez, man.
There was no black belts. When I started, there was maybe one black belt, and he was like 40 minutes away, and I was broke, so I was like, I can't make that. So I trained under a blue belt. Whatever he learned there, he brought to us, and I learned it
him. Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that was
cool.
That was the way back in the day, wasn't it? Like, it was even less so in the UK, because we don't, you know, obviously you've got the proximity thing in America with Brazil, and, you know, once the sport started spreading north, it spread to America pretty quickly. But here, I mean, you know, for years you had Braulio in Birmingham and Hodger in London, and that was really your options if you wanted to train jiu-jitsu. And thankfully we're a little bit further ahead now. Yeah. But I hear loads of stories of guys where it'd be like, you know, they'd be figuring stuff out from, you know, they'd maybe have a blue belt coach, and then they'd just be kind of workshopping stuff together. So
now I see you guys. I mean, I see the guys in the UK. You guys are training hard over there. You know what I mean? And I sometimes feel like, now I want to ask you guys a question. Sometimes I feel like you guys get a bad rap where it's like, oh, they don't have wrestling. The UK don't have the wrestling, because America, we got wrestling, right? And so it's like, and especially with the no-gi explosion, do you guys feel like there's more of like a leg attacks, guard and pulling in the European areas than it is more California, is more like takedown base, smash, heavy pressure, crush? Do you feel like the lack of wrestling has like definitely changed the style in the UK, or do you feel like your wrestling is underrated and will give you guys credit?
I'm not sure. I think for me, part of it is that when the kind of grappling exploded in the UK and became a much bigger sport, that was around the time when the meta was very much leg attacks. So I think like, people like Owen O'Flanagan, obviously, was in the last ADCC. It was very leg heavy in terms of, especially his game at that point. But I think now there's enough big gyms with enough kind of top level black belts that they're, you know, whatever the meta is across the sport in America, and, you know, with the kind of big focus on ADCC style no-gi grappling now, I think I definitely think the level of stand-ups coming up in the UK. But yeah, I'd say maybe you're right, and maybe that is why.
A very multicultural, like, UK, yeah, is a very multicultural society, and there's like a lot of, there probably would be certain gyms back in the day that would have had like wrestlers to do it, but I think every day, like nowadays, there's probably someone from,
there's a couple of mad little pockets as well, like, yeah, up in the Midlands there's like some areas that have got a high level of kind of immigration from areas like, you know, Dagestan and places like that, and they've obviously got now a kind of more deep root. Yeah, you know, the wrestling is coming through. But yeah, that's actually a really interesting, really interesting question that might be one that I steal from you, Matt, and ask to some of the more experienced grapplers that we have on from the UK scene, because that's a nice look at it.
I feel like territory is kind of like based on like how your jiu-jitsu is, you know, kind of like where you're from. You'll see a lot of traditional guard. It's traditional. You got a Brazilian professor, you're learning close guard, you're learning cross grip, you know, foot on the hip, traditional jiu-jitsu, where you get a more of a wrestling, no-gi attack, like the Gordon Ryans and all these guys, they're open guard, sitting, hands up, palms up, looking to get underneath you. Like, they're not even, and for me, personally, I think, I want to watch tournaments, and I watch all these stuff, so I don't flow grappling or whatnot, and I see these guys training, I feel like they're too excited to go to the legs. A lot of these guys can win these matches, and they'll just pull back or die for a leg. There's not enough position over submission, not enough, you know, heavy pressure, crushing, you know. Yeah, of course, take the leg if it's there, but we're not Gordon Ryan.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, play smart, win the match. Yeah. Why are we up points? Why are you diving for a leg and missing it and then being on bottom? Yeah. I feel like that's huge thing I see a lot of the lower belts doing. They're not controlling and they're not pressuring enough.
Especially with the, maybe the, you know, the rise of sport jiu-jitsu as pure sport jiu-jitsu, because for a while the only way you could really make money in jiu-jitsu was by transitioning to MMA. So I think, you know, the position before submission ethos definitely is more important there, because as we saw with like even someone like Gary Tonin in one, like, you know, a top level leg lock guy, but you make one mistake when you're entering on the legs against a good striker and you're going to sleep. Yeah. So I think the sport jiu-jitsu, like, boom. Yeah. Sorry, mate.
Maybe I'm bitter because the leg game wasn't there when I was like, or belt, you know what I mean? That just started. I was like a dirty purple, and they're like, oh, these guys are diving for legs. I'm like, well, no one's taught me legs, dude. Like,
round upon. Why would you ignore 50% of the human body, as Danaher says? Yeah.
When that came out, all of us guys who just been training for years are like, what the heck, dude? And then next thing you know, the whole game changed.
Yeah.
So you're a black belt under a Checkmat affiliate, is that correct?
Yep, I'm a black belt under Carter Feliciano, Checkmat, Leo Vera, all that. I've trained with some guys that, like, I can't even touch. I've trained with Bushesha. I've trained with all these guys, and they make me feel like blue belts, you know what I mean? But I'd rather be in a sea full of sharks than a pond full of fish, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're dead right, yeah.
100%, 100%. So yeah, through your journey of training, obviously, you've experienced a fair bit. Have you you've been based out of California the entire time under the same coach all the way from? I know you said you were a white belt for 5 years, so was it all the way from that first class? Sorry, mate, I just talked over you.
No, that's good. I jumped around from blue belt. So blue belt on, I've been with my same professor, but at white belt, like I said, it's 5 years. So I learned under a blue belt. Then I went to Dan Henderson's Team Quest.
I was going to ask you about that, because I was looking through your old posts and I seen you had a lot of posts up with that. Was that like up to purple you were, or were you there from blue to purple or something, or did I miss that?
Not for the amateur MMA team there.
Oh. And,
I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was like, I'll just fight in the cage, whatever. So I tried for the amateur MMA team, blew my knee out in amateur tryouts. So then I was done. And then after that, went to Carlson Gracie's.
They're a favorite here on the podcast. We've mentioned them probably more time than our own gym.
Yeah, Carlson Gracie's. I had a couple there. And all my professors kept getting deported back to Brazil.
That's hilarious.
So I had to keep, like, I kept having to start over, right? So finally, professor there that was, like, a big guy, like, my style. And he was leaving, and I'm like, hey man, he's like, but I'm opening another gym, American Top Team, blah blah blah. So I went to American Top Team for a minute, trained there, and then he finally ended up getting deported. They finally caught him, sent him, and then after that I was like chilling, and so I went back to Dan's, and that's where I met my coach, who was Dan's jiu-jitsu coach, and I started training. He's a Checkmat black belt, and he's multiple time world champion. He's just blessed to found that team. So from blue belt on, I've been with Checkmat.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Nice, man. So that's a decent stint still. So just before we move on, I want to loop back to the deportation comments. So was that just back in like the early 2000s? People were just coming over on what, on tourist visas, and then just, or just like they didn't have the right visas to stay in the, and they just like stay on. What was the deal there?
Visa would expire and they gotta go. Like.
Yeah, I mean, I've been there. I did a similar thing in Australia, but I wasn't teaching any jiu-jitsu at the time. It was more the more of the degenerate and less of the BJJ part of the podcast. But I empathise with that. So you found your home, and you've been there, what, nine or so years then you've been under your current gym?
Yeah, probably around 9 years I've been with him, yep. And it's great. So I teach the 6 a.m. class, and so definitely changed my game. Teaching is like made my game so much better, I feel, because I feel like there's three levels to a move, you know what I mean? There's knowing the move, doing the move, and then doing the knowing the move, showing the move, and then doing the move live.
Okay, yeah.
I feel like, you know, you have to be able to adapt to the people that come into the class.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I'm gonna show this move, but then I see it's a bunch of white belts come in that day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, don't even know how to do this move. So then I have to like completely changed my game. Or we have one of my buddies, he's with in war, has lost some limbs, so he can't do. So I have to show up completely different, which like really like changes like my whole philosophy. Like,
it gives you a new perspective, like
new perspective on like how everybody's body's different. Yeah. You know, is people gave God a belly, use your belly. He gave you long legs, you throw them triangles. Right? Yeah. He made you small.
He has long legs and I have a belly.
Yeah, there we go.
He also learns quicker than I do as well, and we both roll together quite frequently.
Did you coach before you got your black belt, or is that something you really at your gym? Because you've got a bit of depth. It sounds like you've got a deep talent pool at your gym in terms of, you know, it's a stacked mat where there's going to be multiple black belts.
We got about 15 or 16 black belts.
Yeah,
nice.
So, I would cover some classes at brown belt every once in a while. But just recently, really started pretty much coaching. Well, probably just last like 6 months. And I would like coach like my buddies. Like I had good guys. I got in jiu-jitsu. My professor would be like, "Hey, go coach them." And I'd just go coach them at tournaments and stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, recently just kind of really took on like coaching for like big classes.
How did you find that?
I love it. Yeah. I loved it. It's the best.
Nice, man. And did you, like, with the... Are you full-time in jiu-jitsu, really? I was trying to find a nice way. But are you...
Oh, I wish, dude. I wish. I have a full... I work 40 hours, full clip, you know. I'm a UPS man by trade. So, you know, I ding-dong ditch for money, and I tap people out when I'm on my free time.
Nice, man.
I make memes when I'm taking a shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I do.
I think you take way too many shits, man. You've a lot of content out there, bro.
I got a bunch in the can, bro. Like, I got a bunch, like, on schedules. Like, I make, and I'll put schedules for every day, and then I don't make any for a week, and then they'll just pop up.
So, yeah, obviously that's a nice segue into that. So, obviously, you've got two main platforms, really, for the, you know, Oss Nation BJJ. You've got the YouTube and the Insta. Was that something that you kind of intentionally built? Because to be honest, like, you know, whereas some channels will have like a dedicated theme, you know, it will be a meme channel or it will be a technique channel. Yours is a little bit of everything. It's a nice eclectic mix. You know, you got some memes, you got some technique, you've got some reels of you kind of just talking, giving like kind of, for want of a better word, like life rants or kind of advice rants. And then you've got, you know, some technique clips that are your own, some that are from other people. You've got clips from competitions, like I know you had the Merigali finishing sequence on recently. So yeah, like I don't really know what category you fall into, bro.
Itsu, and like, so first of all, I remember what it was like being on the bottom trying to grow, and like having people be like, "Hey, just tag me."
Yeah.
Share my stuff. Like, you just want to share my stuff. And for me, if it's jiu-jitsu based and I see somebody and they're trying to grow and I feel it's not like, if it's a technique, I got to make sure it looks legit. I'm not going to share something I don't think won't work. But like, if it's anything jiu-jitsu related, like you tag me, I'm sharing it. Like, cause I'm about everybody getting to eat. You know what I mean? Like, cause I remember what it was like to be the bottom trying to build.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'll share people. Put a circle around it. Like, I'm like, "Hey man, check them out." Like, so when people come at me and be like, "Hey man, you're stealing my stuff," I was like, "What are you talking about, man? I'm trying to help everybody."
Yeah, like, we had nothing to do with that, by the way.
No.
To be fair, you're always very good with our stuff, and you always put the circle up, and I think
some people can be overly sensitive about that sort of stuff. You know, you kind of tagged the place that it had been shared from originally. I mean, like, what more can you do other than that? If they haven't tagged it, you're not supposed to know who the creator behind the you know, original poster is. Like, I mean, you're
just sharing something that was shared from someone else's page. Like,
you're doing it while you're having a shit. How much fucking time have you got to do research?
You know, if you're posting a video and I'm trying to give the guy on the video some love.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, like. So,
it
is what it is.
Yeah,
we agree. We agree. Yeah. We're on your side, man.
So do you? To be honest, I've completely forgotten about that.
Yeah, I said we bring it up just to cover for anyone that didn't know.
But yeah, like, did you intend?
No ill towards anybody.
No, we feel that. Yeah, exactly, no, we're on your side.
So
on
did
this
you thing. Intentionally build the platform? Was it something you were like, "Look, I'm going to build a jiu-jitsu platform to share stuff," like, for, you know, like you say, to give the guys, the little guys coming up, you know, a platform? Or was it like,
you know, you stumbled across, because I mean, you know, you've got what, 90,000 followers now? It's like,
we're gonna be there though, 90. I like the sound of that, but we're gonna 50,000 almost right now.
Yeah, but still, significant number of followers, man. So you've obviously put the grind in to get there.
1,000, 2,000 a week. So yeah, it's flying. The algorithm found me for sure.
Yeah, you have good engagement.
I started it because I was a big fan, like, of Kit Dale back in my early Facebook days.
Ken's a fit. Yeah, Ken put Kit onto me. Like, I was just, he was sharing stuff, and like, how did I not know about this dude?
I was like, dang, he's guess hilarious. And then he would also show rolling, and he'd also show sparring, and we'd play online, fucking get on the sticks together, and I'd be like, all right, cool, dude. Like, and I was like, he was kind of like, and I was like purple belt at the time. And I was like, man, this guy's cool. So then once I started getting going, I was like, I'm just going to show everything. And I started doing demos on YouTube, and some of them kind of got really good because of my YouTube was jiu-jitsu for big guys, because there's not a lot of people, big guys, content out there. It's always like beer and bolos and all this crazy stuff. It's like, nah, this is a big guy. Put it on him, you know, I'm neon belly, rush. So I was like, I'm going to make more big guy content. And so I got a little niche following there. So I was like, but, you know, I always was pretty, you know, find myself kind of funny when it comes to memes and stuff. So I was like, I'll make the reels and the memes to bring the eyeballs. Then I'll show my stuff and that'll get more eyeballs for my stuff. So
yeah, that's fair. I've actually thought.
For the force fed big guy content.
Yeah, that seems to be the way. First you get the memes. Then you get the money, then you get the power.
Yeah, I've actually thought about making memes. I've had some ideas, like, but just getting the time into actually editing the videos and stuff is just, do you know what I mean?
It sucks, but when my family goes to sleep at night or I'm on my lunch break at work,
yeah.
I'll think of one and there it goes. Out there.
Would you say that's probably like your biggest kind of inside tip to building a decent following is like, you know, have some funny content that people will come, that gets the eyes on the rest of your, because like, you know, it's tough to stand out in the market now with technique videos unless you've got something, like you said, to bring the eyes on. So was that your little secret charm, the memes?
Definitely, because I feel like it's definitely, you gotta like find your niche, a niche thing. Like when you're fully expanded to a bunch of different things, like, people want to, like, oh, it's just jiu-jitsu stuff? Oh, I'm going to go there. Like, people, like, oh, it's just, oh, it's jiu-jitsu. And he posts about basketball sometimes. And he posts about it. It's like, hey, man, I don't care for the jiu-jitsu stuff.
Yeah.
Because I used to like, be like, I talk about football and picks and stuff, American football. I talk about stuff like that. And then those views would get, like, 35. And then I talk about a jiu-jitsu, and it would get, like, 7,000. And I'm like, all right, these guys are here for the jiu-jitsu. So I switched my whole shit. And I went straight into everything jiu-jitsu. And once I, and then you use the audios. If you put a reel, use the freaking, the viral audio on your reel, that'll always help out your algorithm too. So even though sometimes I don't even like the song, I'm like, all right, man, whatever.
Yeah.
Throw it on.
Nice. So obviously you create your own content as well as like resharing and doing collab shares with other pages. Do you notice a difference in the engagement you get from the stuff that's like your OC compared to stuff that's like, you know, maybe reshared or kind of, you know, from another platform?
My original stuff does do a lot better than the stuff that I reshared. Now, I'll take a movie clip and turn that into, like, something. Those do pretty good.
They're my favorite, to be fair. Like, when you see those ones that someone's cut a movie out, and it's like, this is what my coach says when he sees me getting tapped by a fucking lower belt or something like that, and it's something Scarface or something like that or whatever, you know, just for an idea, like.
Those ones kill, dude. And I just kind of, I've been in the game for so long that I know all the inside jokes of jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
You know, oh, that like jiu-jitsu is an hour long, and you tell your girl you'll be back in an hour and a half, but really you're maybe gone for hours because the best part of jiu-jitsu is talking shit after practicing.
That's fair.
For real.
But so have you competed much, like, as you came up? Like, were you competing at white belt? And I know you're white belt for a long time. Did you compete much at white, or did you find so much success after?
Competed a bunch at white. I competed a bunch at blue, purple also. Brown belt, I had dislocated my hip, broke my arm, was my injury belt. I was wrecked at brown belt. So IBJJF got me in suspension right now because I didn't compete at brown belt. So they won't let me compete at black belt because they're like, well, you only competed at purple. So like, I gotta wait for my year or whatever it is, suspension, to come up, and then I can start competing IBJJF again. compete and BJJF or NABJJF. I compete that a lot in that organization a lot. I've done some Jiu-Jitsu World League here in the States. So I compete a little bit here. I definitely want to compete a bunch here this next coming year. I'm finally feeling good. So
nice.
So
you can say you had some pretty big injuries, like you just alluded to, which I saw through your socials. So you're injury free now. You know, you're focusing on your training and, you know, coaching combination.
Yeah, definitely. I'm rolling good. Everything is good. You know, the cardio is like getting back after injury. Like that stuff sucks because your timing's off. When you come back from an injury and you want to get back into it, you're like, oh, I saw the arm, and then you're like, oh, dude, I would have. Like if you ever, I don't know if you guys play video games. You guys play video games?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do. Yeah.
If you get on the sticks and you ain't played in a while, you see like some guy kills you on a first-person shooter, and you're like, dude, 6 months ago you would not have killed me like that. I would have. Like, so like your timing's all awesome. But right now everything's coming good for me in jiu-jitsu. Like everything's just boom, boom, boom. So.
But yeah, before I started jiu-jitsu, like I used to always play the Call of Duty games, Modern Warfare 2, and everything on from there, Black Ops and all that. And I used to like only get like 7 to 10 kills. And like since I started doing jiu-jitsu, there must be something to it. Because like I can do a game now and get 30 kills, like 20 something kills. Do you know what I mean? And like it never happened. So there must be something in it.
Overlap
like.
Between gaming and jiu-jitsu.
There must be like.
What do you guys find? You guys find that, are you guys more loyal to one specific gym? Or are you guys cross-chain? Do you guys do open mats at other gyms? Like how are you guys getting different looks? Because sometimes when you're in jiu-jitsu and you get used to your teammates and you get used to how your teammates roll. And like you're like, dude, like, I'm good at this, but he knows I'm good at this, and he shuts that shit down. Do you guys like be like, go to other gyms and try it, and just make sure that it's still like, oh, see, they don't know that I play lasso, and I'm just wrecking this whole academy. But like, I go to my gym, they don't even let me grab the sleeve because I know I'm a left lasso.
You roll so different against your regular training. We've seen that because we've trained together heaps now recently, and it's like you roll completely differently against me now because you know exactly what I'm. Going to go for to set up the guards I like and stuff like that. So like you say, it's just not letting me get my grips from the off. But like
we're loyal as fuck to our own gym, but we also like to train at other gyms because we've just become friends with other people in other areas. And I think jiu-jitsu is, we've done podcasts like about how it's a community. And
I was quite lucky. I went out to Brazil as a white belt because I had a trip to South America planned already, and I found jiu-jitsu whilst I already had that trip in the books. And my coach at the time was like, take the fucking gear, you're going to regret it if you don't. And I ended up training in like Rio for a month, and then traveling through South America and dropping into a few gyms. So like I've always had the mindset that I've got a home gym that's like, you know, that's where I'm going to get my belt from, and that's where I'm going to go get most of my roles. But you know, traveling and training at other places, it's what makes this sport cool, man. It's the community. So have you done much travel training? Because obviously you're loyal to your gym, you've been there
when I go on vacation, you know, sometimes I like to take my gi and go, but like as I'm getting older, I try not to take my gear unless I like someone's like, hey, come show a class for us or something, then I'll do it.
You're having a holiday as a holiday, like your vacation, but, is your vacation.
Boy goes on vacation, I'm trying to get it in, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm not trying to like pop a rib or I'm trying to freaking hook up with the wife, you know what I'm saying? Like hit or tweak my back and then be laying on the beach like, oh no, like
sometimes hooking up with the wife is the way you can tweak your hip or put out your rib.
Always trying to get it in. When I'm on vacation, I see my boys, I took my gi, I'm training here, I'm training there. I'm like, oh man, I paid for this room, you know what I'm saying?
I'm still that guy, maybe in a few years, I think that'll calm down, but I'm still that guy that ends up being, oh, by the way, I'm just popping out for a couple of hours. I found a gym up the road. But do you cross train?
Yeah, but I think maybe because of my injury history, I'm like, dude, I'm just like, and plus, like, bigger target. The darker your belt, the bigger target.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Come in, you're wearing someone else's patch, and you're walking the gym, like, they're going to be like, hey, we got to represent. We can't let this guy come just mangle us. Especially now with the social media thing, like, people are like, oh, Bose Nation guy, I'm going to fuck that guy up. But I'm like, so I got to come proper, you know what I mean? Like,
you were saying, do we, sorry, I didn't mean to go across here. You were saying, do we train in much places? what you were just saying there, do you train in much places?
Around Southern, like, okay, even if you're not traveling while you're away, do you travel, train much around Southern California?
There's so many check mats here, you know what I mean? Like, so yeah, I do. Like, on the weekends, I'll go, and we'll, sometimes I'll be like, get a bunch of my crew, I'm like, hey, let's just go down to this school, and we'll, go down, and we'll, you know, do their open, whatnot. But, you know, there's like 60 to 80 people in class a lot of times in our gym, so you can get different flavors. Like, I'm literally probably in the mecca of, like, jiu-jitsu. Like, we got Atos with Galval, like, 30 minutes away. We got Legion with King Cornelius, another 30 minutes away. Check, man, like, a lot of big schools down here that, like, just everybody, like, you never know, you know. First time I coached, you know, first time I ever coached anybody was against freaking King Cornelius. I was coaching against him. I'm like, dude.
But you mean like cornering in a competition?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Coaching my boy, he's coaching his friend, and I'm like, I'm like, hey, man. Like, he's like, I'm like, get the pass. Stand up. And he's like, do this. I'm like, hey, man. He's.
You could have made it like that Daniel Cormier. I mean, there's a wrestling guy on one of the things, and he's like, he's at a kid's wrestling competition. He's like, look at my coach across the way, and it's Daniel Cormier sitting coaching some kid, and he's like, how the fuck am I supposed to win against that? I think, like, you
had that experience before, so there's just so many, like, great grapplers here. It's crazy.
That's unreal. Yeah, that was where everyone went. Like I say, go on.
What belts are you guys?
We're both blue belts.
Blue belts.
Yeah.
So did you find getting your new belt that it felt heavy?
I didn't think I was ready for it. I wasn't ready.
Sometimes a coach, belt, they'll give you a belt because they're just trying to, for extra motivation for new challenges. Or sometimes you'll be like, dude, you'll see guys get belts that don't deserve them. And then that thing is heavy on them, and that deters them. Like, I'm not saying you guys, but it'll deter them from training because they'll be like, now I'm getting smoked by white belts. I don't like the pressure. Like, they look cool warming up because of the new color, but it's heavy on them. They didn't, just because they didn't deserve it.
You're talking about, like, a target being on your back when you walk into a gym as a traveler, especially as a higher rank. I think that's kind of true when, you know, when you get promoted, all the guys that are at your old rank, there's now a big old target on your back from them. But I was a white belt for about 3.5 years, I think, because I moved towns a few times, and like I say, I was out in South America. So, you know, I wouldn't, obviously, I don't know if you ever feel ready for the next belt until you get it, but I definitely felt like I could handle myself, you know, as a blue belt when I got my blue. But had a bit of imposter syndrome.
Yeah, I've imposter syndrome for sure. Like, I wasn't expecting mine, and when I got it, I didn't think I deserved it. But, like, I'm not going to question my coach, like, because we have a great coach, like, you know, and it has to be said. But, I don't know, it's just me, because, I mean, Ken's done boxing and stuff before, like yourself, doing MMA and stuff, and I played no sports, did nothing, like, I was just a couch potato. I used to lift a bit of weights for, like, over a space maybe 8 years, and I got used to the tits and took loads of steroids, and it was like, when I got sick of that life, it was like, why am I going to the gym just lifting weights? It didn't appeal to me anymore as I became older. It was just like, I'm just going in lifting weights for what? Like, and I did a trial jiu-jitsu class, and next thing I was like, I'm never going to the gym again, and I haven't that was 2 years ago, I haven't set back foot in the gym since, only to do jiu-jitsu. That's it. Like,
yeah, but lifting is good for your training and lifting, and you know, that's all good for you to do, you know, working grips, working forearms, bench. I mean, sometimes you need a good bench press to get out of side control.
I feel like
people show too much power too early in the role. So the real strong guys, in which I had this problem when I was coming up, I was always a strong guy lifting in the gym, when I would show my strength right away. As soon as we lock head or collar, I would show my strength right away. And then people would download my power. So, you know, if you're going to be a meat power guy, surprise them with your power.
Yeah. Like,
people know how strong I am until I'm actually going for a move. And I think that will help a lot of the bigger guys. I try to tell that and train. Like, as soon as we locked up, I know how powerful you are, because you're showing me right away. And you're not even going for anything yet. And you're gassing yourself. So,
it sounds like every role I have.
Yeah, that's literally, this is, you're talking about Marcus Rowan's strategy here. It's like, just lock up.
Yeah, you're here. Yeah, you're chilling. And then when you need to go, go. That'll help your game explode.
All you had to do was say, put a guillotine on him, and you had my game 100% down.
So top half, it's good. You gotta be able to shoot it, not just give it the whole time.
No, I like that, especially, you know, because, you know, that's one of the arguments that people say about bigger guys is they do just rely heavily on strength. But, you know, strength is a skill in itself almost if you use it effectively and timed efficiently. So, obviously, you've talked about being a family man. You know, you're still training with your family, with your work life. Obviously, you've got a half-decent following. You're coaching jiu-jitsu now. Do you have any plans to make it your main thing, or, you know, is it always going to be a hobby for you?
I mean, of course. I mean, if it really took off, I want to get into merch. I'm going to probably get some shirts out and stuff like that eventually. A lot of people have been asking for it, so I'll probably do that. Maybe make my own geese, maybe Host Nation geese. I feel like that's probably the best way to make money in social media. I thought about doing a podcast, Host Nation podcast, open mat with Host Nation, like podcast, and just interview people.
I think you have the following that you could reach out to people.
Yeah, like, you've got the following that you could definitely get interviews and do it that way.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how quick it
is. But I think the return on investment on apparel is huge. So I get what you're saying with money. Are you monetized at all at the moment through any sponsors or anything, or is it purely just a passion project at the moment?
Project. I've had, you know, like Level Black sends me stuff. They'll send me geese all the time and stuff. I'm not a sponsored athlete by them, but they send me stuff all the time. So I've had, like, I get free stuff, you know, from them. So, like, it's Lamada Vita, they send me rash guards, and so I'm getting free gear, which is cool.
That's cool, though. That's cool.
Free shit's the first step, right?
At jiu-jitsu, I don't have to buy a gi anymore.
Yeah. That's brilliant.
You know what I mean? So, like, we're growing. So, you know, like, definitely open for sponsors, whatever. You know, I could push somebody pretty good social media wise. You know, like, if I make something for you, my thing is I'm blessed enough that, like, I could probably get you at least 4,000 views.
Your conversion rate looks really good compared to a lot of pages. You know, I don't want to accuse anyone of having fake followers, but yours definitely ain't, because, you know, you get.
I'm too cheap to buy anything.
Fair play, yeah.
That raw, like, I don't. And all the other meme pages, there's some good ones out there. You know, the BJJ Laughs and all these other guys that do their stuff. People will send me them, and I won't I'll laugh in the comments at them, but I don't even look at them because I don't want to get accused of stealing someone's idea.
Yeah, that's fair.
So when I see a clip or something, I want to be my raw thought. So, like, I'm not trying to, like, if someone sends me something from somebody, like, oh, this is hilarious, I'm like, oh, cool, I'll just laugh. I won't look at it, though, because I don't want to steal. Yeah. So
I think in this day and age as well, a lot of people are trying to accuse people of stuff. You know, it's a lot easier to accuse someone of stealing original content than, like, actually go and make original content. Yeah. You know, it's a really soft world we're coming up in, like, compared to, you know about how it used to be.
Internet is the Wild West, dude. Like, it's the internet. Like, you better watermark it. You better put your face on it. Yeah. Like, Dave Goggins, never find a hater doing better than you. So, yeah. So you just got to keep going.
No, for sure, man. That's a great sentence. You'll never find a hater doing better than you. With your YouTube channel, is that the same as your Instagrams with memes and stuff, or is that mostly your technique stuff you put up on there?
All techniques. That's all techniques and breakdowns. And if you see me do, like, a real, like, a move demo with music, it's me talking through it and really breaking more. And I'll do some more vlog type talks and, you know, stuff that comes to my mind. For a while, just because Instagram has been so fire, but I need to really get back into it and get behind the green screen and do some more.
I did like your recent one of saying, I'm a white guy, yeah, but I'm not the white guy that spends every day in a fucking ice bed. I don't want these nuts getting fucking cold. I love that.
I got so much hate for that. I'm white. What do you mean? Like, what?
It's like the. It's like what Dana White said about.
I thought you got hate off the ice bath guys. Yeah. Those guys are like vegans and CrossFitters. They can be militant, man. Careful who you insult on the internet, eh?
Dana White didn't say anything about Israel and Adesanya dropping in bombs. Like, so I think you're all right.
So I'm like, so you're telling me white people don't like doing ice baths? No one could say that. Because there is. If you see people just doing ice baths for fun every morning, it ain't the Hispanics. It's, you know, white guys.
I mean, who can afford that shit anyway?
I was going to say, it's one of those curses of being, like, you know, too comfortable, you know. Like, people that actually grew up hard and had to have cold showers in the morning, it's like, ah, you know, I grew up doing that, I lived that, I'm not gonna go back to that. But it's people that have got it too easy, they're like, oh, you know what? Well, you know what you need? You need to be cold.
I mean, also, you're just having a laugh as well, like, so, like, take it with a pinch of salt, I mean.
The frozen peas that no one's allowed to eat in the freezer, and I'll put that on my knee, and I'll watch TV and go to bed. Like, I'm not trying, you know, I'm not trying to get the bag wet, like I said. Like,
I just thought that was hilarious. Yeah. It's the worst part of walking in the sea is, like, I'll walk in as far as my knees. I'm not walking in past, up to my waist.
Yeah.
Same with the ocean. I live in the beach, guys. I live in the beach, and there's shark attacks out here, okay? And I see these guys out there swimming. If you see Matt Vega's nipples in the ocean, he's into, he ain't going far, dude. Like, I'm knee high, baby. We ain't going out there.
Yeah, it's fair, man.
That's jokes, man. Did you have any finish you wanted to ask? We'll go on to questions.
No, we'll ask him some uncomfortable questions. Not uncomfortable for him, but maybe for us to ask.
No, to be fair, like, the one from Tim was actually, you kind of touched on this a little bit when you talked about the strength thing, but he was saying, this is Tim, one of our regular listeners, as a self-professed bigger guy in jiu-jitsu, what do you feel has been your biggest challenge and biggest advantage on your journey to black belt?
I think it's personally easier. It's easier to get black belt as a big guy. Now, a lot of my big guys are going to hate this, but it is easier to be a big guy and get your black belt. The ones, the smaller guys, the roosters, the anybody around 160 or under, those guys that get the black belt have took ass whoopings to get there because they can't. I, even at white belt or blue belt, I could get in someone's guard, just shell up and just stay heavy and stall around. As a little guy, there's no stalling, so you're taking those L's. So shout out to all the little guys or females that make it to black belt. You definitely put in more miles on that body to get to there than it is for a bigger guy to get there. Because there's been times where I was lower belt and I just stall on guys and just put the jelly on them and be like, hey, man, we chilling now. I'm tired.
Yeah, there you go.
And, like, Finding opponents is always tough for a big guy too, because, you know, if you're a big guy, no one's gonna pick you for a round.
I was gonna say, do you find people even now as a black belt shy away from you as a rolling partner because you're double threat? How big are you out of interest in terms of, like?
6 foot, 256 pounds.
So what's that? 120 kilos for the European listeners.
Yeah, about 120 kilos. Yeah,
that's a big fella for sure.
But, like, also it's like it's more now because you're not supposed to, out here, I don't know how it is over there, but out here you're not supposed to ask a black belt to roll as a lower belt.
Yeah, that was,
which is crazy.
That doesn't exist, like, the same way over here, but I know that in Brazil it was the same, you know, it really frowned upon to ask anyone higher than you, really, anyone higher than your rank, you're not
here. And so, like, which our gym isn't really like that. It's like we're all boys, you know what I mean? So, like, let's roll, baby. Like, it's all good. But, like, you're not supposed to. And as a big guy, it's even worse because they don't want to. So you have to find them. Like, if for all you bigs out there that are listening, if you are on the mat and you're standing there, like, you know, that John Travolta shit, like, hey, man, you want to roll? Like, you got to say, hey, you want to roll? Hey, you want to roll? Hey, you want to roll? And make, if they say no, then they're a bitch. But, like, you got, and don't be a dick. Don't be an asshole when you're rolling as a big. Smash him, beat him once, and the next time pull guard. Like, don't just keep destroying them. Let them work. Like, and show them you're dominant. Get your sub, and then the next time pull guard or pull guard right away. Like, if you're a big guy and you're over 2 stripes in your blue, you should be pulling guard on everybody under 200 pounds.
I think that's some great advice.
That's fantastic advice. For that, not only will, you know, make you a better rolling partner, it'll also improve your jiu-jitsu more quickly, in my opinion.
Mm. Yeah, because people used to give me shit. They'd be like, hey, you just beat me because you're big.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I don't get to say you just beat me because you're fast and better looking. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like, hey. So I would pull guard. Then I'd sweep him. Then I'd beat him. And then they'd be like, what are you going to say now? Like, so... pull guard. If you're a big guy, if you're over 200 pounds, pull guard and beat the guy, and they have nothing to say.
Nice.
It's a good way to be.
I like that. Another question that came up was, obviously, as someone who's been training as long as you have in the mecca of kind of jiu-jitsu outside of Brazil, you must have, obviously, you've mentioned already, actually, that you've trained the likes of Bochecha, but you must have trained with some kind of like elite level grapplers. Like, what's the kind of, you know, craziest story you've seen, like, on the mats or on competition? That ideally, if you can name drop a few people and some like outlandish behavior, that'd be ideal.
So I've rolled with Rico Verhoeven, the K1 kickboxing Grand Prix champion, and he's probably the most athletic guy I've ever rolled with. And even though I did very well against him on the ground, just genetically a monster. Like, I couldn't believe what I was feeling when I was rolling with him. Like, just touching him hurt. You know, I've rolled with Dan Henderson. And when he grabs your arm, you ain't getting that arm, dude. Like, he's, like, built like a piece of, I don't know, I can't explain it, like a hard piece of bacon. I don't understand. Like, the guy is just, like, built different, like old dad strength.
Yeah.
I've rolled with Bochecha. My story with Bochecha is probably my best story, because I rolled with him on my birthday one time when I was a purple belt. And my coach was like, hey, roll with Bochecha. He was doing a seminar. And I was like, okay, cool. And he just kind of toyed with me and everything was good. And then Bochecha was getting ready for a big match, a big super fight. And my coach was like, hey, we're going down to headquarters. We're going to give Bochecha work. He needs big guys. I was like, okay, cool. I went down there and I did a 10-minute round with him from the feet. And he double-legged me so fast. And like just absolutely mangled me. It's been a wild experience. Who else have I rolled with? Luke Rockhold. I've Rockhold a little bit. Just like in a quick little situational thing. Yeah.
Nice, man.
That's cool.
That's what happens when you learn jiu-jitsu in California. You just can't. We find like here jiu-jitsu is actually a pretty small community in the UK, even though there's like quite a few gyms popping up. You see the same faces about. I know you got a bigger kind of bigger population that does jiu-jitsu over there, but do you find the circles still move quite small and you see the same people around and about?
It's a community, yeah. For sure. Like, I also rolled with Sean Strickland a bunch.
Oh, he's cool as fuck.
Sean Strickland got help from my professor. So I roll with him a bunch. It is not a show, boys.
Well, it is not a show. He's like that all the time.
Everybody's like, oh, he's just doing that for click. No, no, no. He was talking about that when there was four of us.
Yeah, he seems authentic.
Like, you never see his jiu-jitsu in the UFC, but people always say he's got a sick ground game. How is he?
So good.
Yeah?
I'm not joking. He is very good on the ground. He just doesn't want to go there.
Yeah.
It is very... I would say maybe his takedowns aren't good, but like when he's on the ground, he'll fuck you up. He is no joke.
That's like one of the best ones. I think one of the best ways to end it, like on John Strickland, like.
No, that's cool, man. Have you got anything? Obviously, we'll add all your socials into the chat, and like, I really appreciate you spending so long on here with us. It's been 40 odd minutes now, so yeah. Thank you for giving.
I appreciate you guys, man. Like, again, like anytime you guys. I'm down to, like, you guys want me to push your shit, you send it to me, I will reshare it. Like,
no, that's
just, I just, if you, and it's for anybody out there, you have anything jiu-jitsu that you want to get out, if you're like, hey, I'm trying to push this, or I'm trying to grow this, like, just tag me, and if I feel it's good, and if I see it, sometimes I don't see everything, because I get a lot of my inbox, but I'll share it if I can. So, just, you know, jiu-jitsu is small, everybody in it, but it's going to outlive us all. So yeah, facts. There's plenty of room for everybody to eat. So just send it.
Yeah, there's no need for those famine mindsets. So it's all about, you know, helping each other along and growing. But no, we really appreciate your time, brother. And honestly, we'd love to do this again sometime. So please do keep in touch. And
anytime.
Have you any other socials you want to throw out there or anything else where people can reach you or if they want to get in touch with you?
Ghost Nation on Facebook, Ghost Nation BJJ, Instagram, YouTube, Threads, where I'm on there now too. Ghost Nation BJJ. So everything, I don't really TikTok or X, I don't really do that. So that's not really it.
The nonce channels, mate. Stay away from them.
We call them the paedophile channels.
I just go there, news, I guess, fake news. But like everything else, like just Oast Nation BJJ, guys, and I appreciate the time. I appreciate it.
No, and thanks for coming on. We really do appreciate your time. As I say, thanks for you are spreading the love, like you say, and you've always reshared our stuff, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, much love, man.
For sure. Let's do it again.
Great. Peace out.
All right, I hope you enjoyed that interview, guys, as much as we did, because before the interview, he's just fucking super safe. And before I fucked up the whole running order of things, Ken, do you want to shout out our teammates, New Apparel?
Yeah, no, that was me as well. That was a terrible tip of the interview. As our regular listeners will be aware, that's the first time we've kind of tried to use the digital wizardry to insert something that we've done like at a different time into the flow of our show. And as you can probably noticed by my pause, my lip slap, and me going, well, in regards to things I want to talk about, I wasn't really sure how to tee it up. So yeah, guys, you're on this wild ride with us, learning as we learn. But what a safe geezer Matt was, honestly. Like, yeah. I can't give him enough love. We'll obviously, guys, follow all of his shit. Aust Nation BJJ, YouTube, Instagram. Follow his personal page as well, Meet Ed BJJ. You can
show him some love and tag us as well. He might know where it's coming from.
Yeah, obviously tell him where the love's coming from. We want him to know. Him to know that you sent him there. Speaking of plugs, Mouse, Danny, training partner and mate, has come up with. He's just
stolen some.
Yeah, so stolen some classical medieval art and has decided to transpose it on a rash guard.
Ex-Marsh will do the same thing, so we've no problem with you.
Yeah, Ex-Marsh should do the same thing, but
yours is on a better level.
Well, it's different. For what it is. Ex-Marsh fits into the wider trend of kind of jiu-jitsu stuff. You see those similar designs, different variations of same designs. There's lots of, like, you know, either bright colours or animal references and stuff like that, whereas...
I did buy my OnlyFans one.
Like, which I think they
stole. I'm not shitting on them completely.
Which I think they stole from Craig Jones, but who came first? OnlyFans probably came first. So both of them have stolen the idea from somewhere. But anyway, enough on Ex-Marshall. We've plugged them enough previously, and
he didn't even turn up for an interview.
They don't even turn up to their interviews. If ever we get Mouse on for an interview, I bet that fucker turns up, eh? So, yeah, the brand is Salt and Storm. It's high quality, limited run, unique designs. At the moment, they've got one that's on pre-order. They're going to be centred around classical art. It's very different from kind of anything I've seen. And it actually got some good traction. Yeah. He shared it on RBJJ, BJJ subreddit. And
I do believe it will continue to get good traction because it's a niche within a niche, and I think that he's hitting that type of people as well. And, like, obviously if it hits a bigger audience, like not just UK but like America and stuff, I think it's
like I made a joke in the Reddit thread where I was like, the description says one man passion project, but this rash guard clearly shows two man's passion. And and his reply to it was, yeah, like, we're not trying to outdo Scramble or whoever else, name a brand, other Ex-Marshall, for example, name a gi or a fightwear brand there. Like, you know, we are trying to be, you know, be kind of true to our, like, idea. We say we, it's him. He's trying to be true to his ideas and, you know, stick with kind of what he wants, which is high quality and, you know, something that he'd actually like to wear. And you know what? The more I've looked at it, the more it's actually grown on me. And
I've seen him wear it, a prototype.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what? I actually would fuck with that. So, another reason to join the WhatsApp chat, guys, he actually started put a few examples of potential future runs in there to get people to vote on what they'd prefer. So.
He didn't even comment on my idea of Michelangelo's David. Yeah, with just an extra large slung, like, you know. I'd buy that one.
Like. I think that would fit more into the Ex-Marshall range than it would into his range, brother. But yeah, check it out, guys. And also, while you're at it, let us know what you'd like to see on a rash guard in terms of, you know, jiu-jitsu is saturated with similar types of rash guards. As we've said, you know, you've got those kind of bright psychedelic patterns, you know, that you see at 10th Planet gyms, or you've got, you know, kind of cliched, cartoonized animals, and then you've got kind of the, you know, some kind of plain, almost no detail rash guards. Think outside the box. What would you guys like to see? Maybe we'll do a limited run print ourselves. Maybe we'll collab with Salt and Storm and do some DJ and BJJ stuff. But please do.
There's been discussions.
Yeah, there have been discussions. And also, he needs to start fucking paying us if he keeps using our platform for his free market research. So yeah, Mouse, we'll come a collecting if this continues. But no, jokes aside, brother, really, like, you know, fair play to you.
And best luck as well.
Yeah, fair play to you, you know, taking the leap, starting something that's you know, you got a vision for clearly, and yeah, best of luck with that. So yeah, where do people find us if they want to get us, Mark?
Yeah, so everything is DJNBJJPod, Instagram, all that. Instagram is really the best place to find us, although I am putting stuff on other social media. I probably won't reply because I don't monitor as much. www. I shouldn't have said that, should I? djnbjjpod@gmail.com for any, you know, emails or anything that has to come through that way.
Any sponsorship interest?
Yeah, any sponsorship interest. Magnus, I'm still fucking waiting. You know, I mean, I spend so much money and have all my life. I'm looking for something to come back. But enough of my gripes. Also, like, if you could, I keep saying it, if you could, like, like and follow on the Spotify link as well, because it is helping. I mean, we're in the top 100 of the wrestling section of podcasts. Like, I mean, so, like,
boys.
So, like,
get us top 50, yeah? Yeah. We're not quite there, but a little bit of a push.
And we were top 50 before, so, I mean, listeners fell off. I mean, that's not, we're going to accuse you of. I mean, maybe our content was a bit stale. But if you are liking and engaging, it does help everything. So if you could just please carry on with that. And we do, as always I say, we do appreciate everything you're giving, but that's basically me.
Go back and listen to the episodes, even if they were stale, and let us know some feedback. Yeah,
feedback is always great as well. Whether you DM us, DM Instagram is the best, but also there's the WhatsApp group, as we've mentioned.
Yeah,
you know, and if you want your ex-marital stuff, it's DJN10, and the link is in the bio on the link tree. All the episodes are on the top as well.
Yeah,
from 1 to 21. If you want to pick an episode that you haven't listened to,
comments on the Spotify as well. That helps us. All of that shit. Do it. Leave it. Get involved. Yeah. Again, this is the first time we've kind of done a multi-segment episode and edited it together, so I think you can probably tell that me and Mike have been a bit turned about a few times with his www dots and me speaking like I'm on a Teams call for work. So yeah, guys, thank you for...
Good time to leave it.
Thank you for enjoying this part of the journey with us. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, as we mentioned, due to holidays, and yeah, hopefully we'll have some better flow to our content then, guys. But enjoy it. Much love. Catch you the next time. Play it to
Take it easy, guys.